Welcome to Between the Lines, where we explore the rich tapestry of the Bible's teachings and revelations with your hosts, David and Jonathan. Thanks for joining us on WVFF 97.7 FM as we seek to understand the deeper meanings behind the verses and discover the love of Christ and hope of his salvation. Without further ado, our hosts, David and Jonathan.
All right. Here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible and its Hidden Mysteries here on WVFF 97.7, Veterans for Freedom Radio. We're knee-deep into Exodus. We're chapter 10, did chapters 5 through 9 yesterday, and we're right in the middle of the plagues that God is putting on Egypt via his spokesperson, Moses and Aaron. And something I want to highlight is, and if you've ever watched the Exodus, the movie and everything, and probably things you've heard in church, you'd think these plagues happened in just a matter of days, but they did not. They happened over a long period of time, months, and in my opinion, probably 2 years, because there's things between the lines in there. One of the earlier plagues was all the cattle in Egypt would die. And then a plague or two after that, then we have cattle dying during the hailstorm. So yeah, you got to look real hard. And that's one of the explanations of why Pharaoh's heart would harden back up, because with time comes complacency. You know, if this would have all happened in a week or two, the man would have been whittled down emotionally and physically, and he would have let them go very quickly. But God's plan was not that way. God wanted to show the people that he was even more powerful than the God of the earth at that time, who was Pharaoh. So read it real close and you will see that these plagues happened over probably about a two-year period in Pastor Dave's opinion. So we're here at Exodus chapter 10, and start today. And the Lord said unto Moses, go in unto Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart and the heart of his servants, that I might show these my signs before him, that thou mayest tell in the ears of thy son and thy son's son what things I have wrought in Egypt, and my signs which I have done among them, that ye may know how that I am the Lord. And there is exactly what I said. I want this known through the generations, what I have done today and what I have done here in Egypt, that I am the Lord, not Pharaoh, not any earthly power. I am the Lord. And Moses said, and Moses and Aaron came in unto Pharaoh and said unto him, thus saith the Lord God of the Hebrews, how long wilt thou refuse to humble thyself before me? Let my people go, that they may serve me. And we also discussed yesterday how God had said, I am going to make you a God to Pharaoh. He is going to fear you. And you see, Moses doesn't even have to get an appointment to see the king of Egypt. He just walks into his palace, or he walks over there by the river where he's got it prepared to take his baths.
In the most vulnerable position that you could be in.
Yes, absolutely. And you know, Pharaoh would not tolerate this from anyone. But in his heart, God has elevated Moses to a position that Pharaoh fears him. He said, I will make you a God to him. And we see that as Moses and Aaron just stroll right into the throne room. And if you go back into the previous readings and future readings in this Bible, and the book of Jubilees and Jasher, you will see there was a process to getting in to see Pharaoh. There were many cobblestones on the way to the throne. There were like 77 different languages spoken in Egypt. And those who could speak 20 languages got to go 20 steps into the throne room. or those who could speak all of the languages got to go all the way up to the throne, and Pharaoh would come down on the steps. It's a big, massive process, but Moses just walked right in, strolls up to the throne, and says, "Hey, buddy, get down here. I got to talk to you again."
Show him the hot dog.
Yeah, there you go. Hey, you. Hey, come on. Come here. Come here. All right. "Else, if thou refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow will I bring the locust into thy coast." Oh, the feared locusts. "And they shall cover the face of the earth, that one cannot be able to see the earth. And they shall eat the residue of that which is escaped." Okay.
And we talked about that. Economic disasters. You know, in one day all the cattle died. And that was probably a third of Pharaoh's wealth. And then when the hail came, destroyed the crops. Except for, it said, the barley and the wheat and the barley were not grown up yet. There's another hint, too. This is over multiple months and probably about 2 years, in my opinion. So he's saying, okay, you know, you've been economically devastated. Now your wheat and your barley's grown up. Guess what? You know them little critters that love to eat wheat and barley? If you don't let the people go, we're going to call in a whole swarm of locusts. So, to eat the residue of that which is escaped, which remaineth unto you from the hail, and shall eat every tree which groweth for you out of the field. So, in my youth, I grew up on farms in Illinois. About 2 months has passed there from the hail. It said the barley and the wheat had not sprouted yet. So we're about 2 months in now, and it's up, and the folks of the land are saying, "Oh, we got a good harvest this year. Look at that wheat field. Look at that barley field. There's not even any weeds in it this year. This is going to be the best harvest ever." Chapter 10, verse 6, the book of Exodus. "And they shall fill thy houses, and the houses of all thy servants, and the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither thy fathers nor thy fathers' fathers have seen, since the day that they were upon the earth unto this day." There are going to be so many grasshoppers around here that you're going to wish you were dead. "And he turned himself and went out from Pharaoh." That's a no-no right there. You're in front of Pharaoh. You do not turn your back to him until he dismisses you, and then you walk out backwards, bowing as you go.
I was about to say, repeatedly bowing, stepping.
But you see, the Bible put it in there, and you got to read so carefully. You take every word, you let it sink in, and you analyze it, because that right there means a lot. "And he turned himself," he turned his back to the God of the earth, Pharaoh, "and went out from him." And that is a no-no. That is never done. There's a death sentence on that.
Because that man was literally worshipped in real time on earth.
Yes.
All of his subjects.
Yes. And anyone else had done that, guards would have grabbed them. "You showed your back to me. What are you thinking?" Okay, verse 7. "And Pharaoh's servants said unto him, How long shall this man be a snare unto us? Let the men go, and they may serve the Lord their God." So his advisors are getting weary of all this economic disaster and physical hardship of the frogs and the flies and the lice. I mean, there's a sire. When are you gonna just let them go?
I mean, there's fire raining from the sky.
Yes, the fire raining from the sky, hail. I mean, this is crazy. Even his magicians said, "This is the finger of God." You know, yeah, sure, we dumped some red dye into the water, and we were making it look like we could do that. But no, this is God. He said that when the lice came. This is the finger of God. No one else can bring billions of lice. "So that they may serve their Lord their God, knowest thou not yet that Egypt is destroyed?" Aren't you looking around, sire? This place is in shambles. We were the richest nation on the earth a year and a half ago. And everything's devastated.
The economy's devastated. Everything's eaten up. I mean, we got sores on us from the lice. It's everything. The place still stinks from those piles of frogs. Taking forever for them things to rot away.
Putting in a liquor store right there beside a pyramid?
That's it. It is. Yeah, the place is going downhill big time. And Moses and Aaron were brought again unto Pharaoh. And he said unto them, go serve the Lord your God. But who are they that shall go? Okay, go. But who are you going to take with you? And Moses says, we will go with our young and with our old, with our sons and with our daughters, with our flocks and with our herds. We will go, for we must hold a feast unto the Lord. Now, this looks very suspicious. Mm-hmm. Let us go 3 days' journey into the wilderness to worship God. But we're taking everything we own with us. Everything.
Don't get suspicious now. We're coming right back.
Yeah, I mean, we're attached to our flocks. I mean, they're like pets to us. And all the furniture, we love. You know, when we get there, we're going to set up our little tents just like it is here, so we feel at home. But we're coming back. So Pharaoh's got to be sitting there thinking, they're going to go worship their Lord for 3 days out, worship for a day or two, come back 3 days, but they're taking everything with them. Something's not right here, fellas. Council meeting. And he said unto them, let the Lord be so with you, as I will let you go, and your little ones look to it, for evil is before you. Not so. Go now, ye that are men, and serve the Lord, for that ye did desire, and they were driven out from Pharaoh's presence. So what did he just say there? You can go, but leave your little ones.
Oh, yeah.
So that's like a guarantee that they're coming back, right?
Right.
Okay, so God doesn't like this. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand over the land of Egypt for the locust, that they may come up upon the land of Egypt and eat every herb of the land, even all that the hail hath left. And Moses stretched forth his rod over the land of Egypt, and the Lord brought an east wind upon the land all that day and all that night. And when it was morning, the east wind brought the locusts. Now, we noticed something a few plagues back. First, it was Aaron. Moses would tell Aaron to stretch forth his rod. And now, it is when the hail came, Moses started doing it. And I do believe, because Moses had such a non-desire to do this, he had no confidence, that God is preparing him to stand on his own. And at this point, Moses has gained some confidence, and he is actually yielding the rod now, because he will need to do that himself during the rest of the Exodus. And the locust went up over all the land of Egypt and rested in all the coast of Egypt. Very grievous were they. Before them there was no such locust as they, neither after them shall be such. For they covered the face of the whole earth, so that the land was darkened, and they did eat every herb of the land, and all the fruits of the trees which the hail had left. And there remained not a green thing in the trees, or in the herbs of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Now I have seen, back in the years when the cicadas would come out, they haven't been very prominent lately. I think they've been killed off, but I think it was every 10 years. Do you remember seeing the swarms of giant cicadas?
Yes.
And, you know, it wasn't like this, but there would be a football field size of locusts swarmed in the air.
Yeah, it's moving. Yeah.
And in the evening, the sound, can you imagine 50 million times more than that?
And just one is so loud by itself.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. So they're going to eat every green thing, every herb of the field, through all the land of Egypt. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron in haste. Oh, that wasn't good enough to go without your children? Okay. And he said, I have sinned against the Lord your God and against you. Now therefore forgive, I pray thee, my sin, only this once, and entreat the Lord your God that he may take away from me this sin. death only. This was apparently to him worse than anything. And can you imagine, like, this room filled with locusts. They're crawling all over. Nobody can keep them off of him.
Right.
He's got five servants there trying to keep them off of him, and they can't.
Yep.
And he went out from Pharaoh and entreated the Lord. And the Lord turned a mighty strong west wind, which took away the locusts and cast them into the Red Sea. And the fish did eat very well that night.
Oh, absolutely.
It doesn't say that, but yeah. Between the lines, the fish ate very well. There remained not one locust in all the coast of Egypt, but the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Regardless of what the man wanted to do at that time, God's plan was to show his mighty power against this prince of the earth, who was the power of the time. So he says, I will harden his heart early on, and he does it continually. Even though Pharaoh's ready to give it all up now, one more time, I'm going to harden his heart so that he would not let the children of Israel go. And the Lord said unto Moses, stretch out thine hand toward heaven, that there may be a darkness over the land of Egypt, even darkness which may be felt. That is scary, because that is not the absence of light. That is the absence of light and spiritual darkness. Evil has come to the land of Egypt. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt 3 days. They saw not one another, neither rose any from his place for 3 days, but all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. So apparently, torches didn't even work. Fire didn't even produce light. This is a spiritual blanket of darkness and evil that is beset upon the nation of Israel, but the land of Gozer is normal.
Right.
And Pharaoh called unto Moses and said, go ye, serve the Lord. Only let your flocks and your herds be stayed. Let your little ones also go with you. So now, he's thinking economically, because he has been absolutely economically devastated. And we showed earlier that when Joseph was made governor of Egypt, Egypt was a poor nation, but Joseph, during the 7 years of plenty and the 7 years of famine, created an economic system to where the crown, Pharaoh, in Egypt became the most wealthy man on earth. At the end of the 7 years of famine, he owned the entire country, all the farms, all the flocks, and all the people. And but then that Pharaoh died, and another one took his place. And the other one realized that the Israelites had become numerous, more than the Egyptians, and he wanted them out. But then he died, and this Pharaoh came into his place, and this Pharaoh seen them as property and didn't wish to expel his own property. A very greedy man. So verse 25, and Moses says, thou must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, that we may sacrifice unto the Lord our God. Our cattle also shall go with us. Oh, imagine that. Yeah, we got to take the cattle too, because we got to make sacrifices.
Nothing doing there, Pharaoh.
Yeah. No, yeah. So, but why would you take the whole herd? Take a couple, you know? Oh, well, we haven't chosen the ones that we're going to sacrifice yet. And, you know, a lot of them look really good, but you know how God wants the most perfect one? It's going to take some time to figure out when. The 3 days that we're traveling, we're going to be watching all of them. And we're going to see which one is the most perfect, has the best gait, and everything, and that's when we'll decide which ones to sacrifice. So we got to take the cattle too. Our cattle also shall go with us. There shall not an hoof be left behind, for therefore must we take to serve the Lord our God, and we know not with what we must serve the Lord until we come hither. We don't know what God's going to ask us to do until we get there. He might ask us to sacrifice the whole herd. We got to be ready for all conditions. This is God we're talking about. You see what he's capable of. Really? We don't want this stuff happening to us, okay? Yeah. But the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. He's thinking economically now. I'm devastated. They still have herds. They have lots of animals. And Pharaoh said unto him, "Get thee from me. Take heed to thyself. See my face no more. Get out of my throne room. For in that day thou seest my face, thou shalt die." Ooh. "You ever come back here again, you shall die." So his fear of Moses is being overcome by his anger at this point. And Moses said, "Thou hast spoken well. I will see thy face again no more."
Stay tuned as we continue our journey through the scriptures on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible. We'll be right back with more insightful discussions and exploration.